Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat.
People get passionate about sports teams that they love. They get passionate about the games, the players, the stadiums, the management, and the jerseys. For Buffalo Bills fans, the jerseys have been a particular point of contention recently. How intense does the uniform passion go there, and nationwide? Maybe more than you'd imagine. NFL reporter Andrew Lind of SportsLogos.net, which leaked the new gray Bills jerseys around 4 months before they were officially unveiled, joined Odyssey station WBEN News and Talk in Buffalo this week to explain.
Your site, Andrew, actually leaked a picture of the new Bills gray jersey back in April. So you've been looking at this for some time, and now you're seeing reaction from fans. Is it what you expected?
Yeah, I'd say it definitely is something that I expected, just because it's such a stark contrast from what they've worn historically. I mean, in the early 2000s, you obviously had probably what I would call the worst uniforms that you guys had in your history, but over the last 15 years, you have that classic look with the white helmet, the blue jerseys, the white pants. And then the further you get away from that, you're going to have these polarizing reactions from fans. I think like the younger fans, they're going to be more into it. The, you know, this bright blue helmet with the metallic finish, the gray, those kind of things. Like those are pure color rush kind of uniforms. And I can see that the younger generation might like it, but the people who grew up, you know, watching them in the 70s and know exactly what the standing buffalo is, and you know, the charging buffalo, and you know, those kind of things, like they are so used to those that this is just not going to be something that they really fall in love with.
Yeah, so this is technically the Color Rush. I hate how all these have names, by the way, Andrew, but this is the Color Rush jersey. You mentioned that some fans might like, but I don't know. I could see liking the pops of color. The Bills have done all blue in the past. They've had the red jerseys in the past. What is up with gray? And the Bills aren't the only team who's done gray. Like,
I mean, I actually recently just did a series on our website that was detailing the best and worst uniforms in each team's history. And the uniforms that I selected for the Detroit Lions were a blue helmet, gray jerseys, and gray pants. You know, a couple years later, for the Bills to follow through and do that a very similar look to it, it's like, it makes me wonder why the Bills would choose to go in this route when that received such a negative reaction from fans 2 or 3 years ago up in Detroit.
You know, on that point, do teams do any kind of focus groups to gauge fan reaction for alternate uniforms, especially one that is so radically different from anything they've ever worn?
Yeah, the Bills did suggest that they had done like focus groups with fans leading up to it. I know that that's something that teams tend to do more with full-on rebrands. We had the Texans a couple years ago that they started gauging fan interest in logos and colors and word marks and those kind of things. And then for that to end up developing into what their current look is, you could see like those positive things that they pulled from those fan focus groups. But this, just the gauging the reaction that I saw when those jerseys were leaked back in April, when I started reporting that it was just going to be a blue helmet with the horns and the eye and the stripe, people were like, why is this happening? Like, nobody wants this, especially after they added the red helmet last year for the final game at Highmark Stadium. You know, you would like to see that maybe become more of a focus.
Tough to understand. You know, the jersey has a Bills logo on the front chest. It's kind of like, you know, the Jets have worn, the Steelers wear the logo on the chest. But if you go by the release, the logo's on the chest because it represents the love we have for our team and the pride so many have shown. Andrew, what do you make of all these? This isn't a Bills thing. This is just like a uniform thing now across all sports, where every stitch is explained by some marketing person as representing something. What do you make of it?
Yeah. We actually, in the uniform community, we have a term for that. We call it Nike speak. And it dates back to when college programs started unveiling the pro combat uniforms back in 2009, 2010, and so forth. There was always a purpose and always a reason. And really, I think that a lot of the designs happen, It's like the blue collar on this uniform. The blue collar doesn't exist because the Bills said, hey, we want a blue collar on this that represents our fan base and those kind of things. It exists because they sat down with Nike. There was collaborative, you know, efforts into creating this design. And then afterwards you say, oh, hey, we have this blue collar. Can we add some sort of description to it? And that's where that Nike speak comes in, into play.
Our final stop this week is in Portland, Oregon. That's where renowned historian Paula Gangopadhyay serves as CEO of Piddock Mansion. Kelly and Bob Phillips of Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of Odyssey Station KRLD 1080 in Dallas visited Paula G. at the mansion for their America 250 tour of the nation. Let's listen in to a bit of their adventure.
So this would have been the original front entrance to the house, not the one that you came in through. The music room, this is where our family spent most of their times. And of course, as you can see, the view would have been gorgeous. This is the Steinway, you know, piano.
The original.
Yeah, it's an original. And we play it. And the house, the architecture of the house is so wonderful that the music permeates through the entire house.
Our host is giving us a tour of the Piddock Mansion in Portland, a home originally built by a man widely considered to be one of the state's founding fathers.
It was built by Henry Piddock, who traveled the Oregon Trail from his boyhood home of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the age of 19 back in 1853, what was originally intended to be his family's summer home. This 16,000 square foot mansion is today celebrated as a marvel of architecture, engineering, and modern conveniences of the early 20th century.
This is the only remaining house which is preserved as a museum. The other homes from this time period either have been torn down or are being used for commercial purposes or have been redesigned or are private residences. So this is, you know, when we were talking about that, the capstone, you know, the legacy, this is like an iconic place where you can actually go in and see. And when you come to the kitchen,
this is the original sink.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And then the butler's pantry in White House is very similar in design. We feel wanted to leave a legacy for his love of Portland because his entire life, his success, and he definitely was like that, a serial entrepreneur in my mind, because he not only was in publishing, he had several other businesses. He had a paper mill. They produced a paper for his newspaper. He was in sheep ranching, silver mining. You know, he started a bank, real estate, of course. So he was doing all of those. But the fascinating thing about him is that he was not just a money guy, you know, who was into like hardcore business. He was a philanthropist. He was into community causes. He was an active mountaineer. He climbed Mount Hood four times. And he co-founded a group that still exists called the Mazamas. That's a mountain climbing group. He was part of the Royal Rosarian group that started the Portland Rose Festival. He was a bicyclist, so he was into all of these social things. When we take you on a tour of this house, is a fascinating architecture. It's a French Renaissance chateau style. It's circular, in simple words. He built this house in a circular architectural, with the architectural design, because he could actually, on a clear day, see all the five mountains from the top floor of this building. Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, Adams, you know, Rainier, he could see all of them. And still on a clear day here, we can see three of them. It was a beautiful place. Piddock Mansion is sort of the, I would say it's like a capstone of the Piddock legacy. There's no other place through which you can see the evolution of Portland from stump town to what it is today. The Piddocks were one of the founding families, having come on the Oregon Trail, going through the hardships back then. And Piddock, being the publisher of the Oregonian, has the statewide story too. It's not just Portland. So it is important because to me, both the Henry Piddock story and the story of the mansion is about the story of resilience that transcends time, that transcends the human experience and the human endeavor.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to WWJ News Radio in Detroit, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, WBEN News and Talk in Buffalo, and Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas. You can find all of these programs, including the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.